питає, дід бабу продає, ніхто грошей не дає. Ой, дідусю, дідусю, у тебе сива борода, чого ж мене не продав, як була я молода? Чого ж мене не продав, як була я молода? Бабусю, бабусю, сизая голубка, того ж тебе не продав, що ти була любка, того ж тебе не продав, що ти була любка.
Ой, тепер же я стара, сльози в мене лються,
ніхто ж мене не купує, всі з мене сміються, ніхто ж мене не купує, всі з мене сміються.
Я ж тебе любила,
а ти ж мене продаєш, чи я надоїла, а ти ж мене продаєш, чи я надоїла. Ой, бабусю, бабусю, ти ж уже старенька, ти ж мені надоїла, хочу молоденьку, ти ж мені надоїла, хочу молоденьку.
Ukraine, that was Susida, which means neighbors, and a song called Oy Nahori Yarmarok, the Bazaar on the Hill. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Pavlina, and thank you for joining me this hour. We've got a great program lined up for you. We have a bit of a departure from our usual on Ukrainian Jewish heritage, which we'll be broadcasting this week, and we have an interview with Pavlo Hanka, who is a world-renowned opera singer and star, as well as he will be directing the concert that will be part of the program of the Babyn Yar commemorations this fall in Ukraine. So stay tuned for that as well. We've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a Canadian-Ukrainian connection duo, Rozhenetsia and Millennia together. And this is from a live recording that was made at the Pesenka Festival last year in 2015 in Vegreville, Alberta. And here they are now, Rozhenetsia and Millennia.
Yeah. Dance Academy and Millennia. How great was that? Широка пою. Остатки раз. Терек рождения.
Do you want to listen to Nash Holos without using your web browser? Well, it's very easy. Download Stitcher's Smart Radio for iPhone and Android.
And klezmer group from New York by the name of Golem, and a song that brings back pretty fond memories of traveling across Ukraine by train, not all across Ukraine, but on a few trips, and very fond memories they are indeed. And one of those trips, the most recent, was sponsored by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter. And again, that was Golem from New York, and a song, their own original composition, Train Across Ukraine. Ви слухаєте радіо передачу «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. При мікрофоні Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio on the PCJ Radio Network, coming to you with love from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. I'm your host, Павліна. And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage then and now, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter based in Toronto. I'm Pavlina, host of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, and this week, an interview with Pavlo Honka, a world-renowned opera singer of Ukrainian and British extraction. Mr. Honka is the director of a concert to be held at Kiev Opera House on September 29th as part of a commemoration project marking the 75th anniversary of the Babyn Yar massacre, in which the Nazis murdered some 150,000 people in 1941, including over 30,000 Jews. The commemoration program is being organized by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter. Pavlo Honka kindly agreed to speak with me via Skype on Tuesday, August 2nd. The 75th anniversary of the Babyn Yar tragedy will be commemorated in Kyiv this fall, late September to be exact. One of the events will be a concert which you are organizing and producing. Now, how did you come to be the orchestrator, so to speak, of this event?
I was approached by members of the board of the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter to see whether I could pull together a program, first and foremost. And then I suggested to them that as I had access to pretty well all of the great musicians of the world, because I work with many of them, that maybe we could pull together a fantastic cast. And they gave me the opportunity to approach some big orchestras, for example, not just to use Ukrainian strengths. And to cut a long story short, we have engaged the Hamburg Symphony Orchestra to go to Ukraine for the 29th of September, when the concert will be, together with the soloists. That's Benjamin Butterfield, who's from your neck of the woods. He's right. From Victoria. And I asked Ben because he sings in Ukrainian so wonderfully. He's part of the Ukrainian Art Song Project. And then there's Gal James. She's Israeli, living in Berlin, to sing. And then myself as well. Conductor will be Oksana Lenyuk. She's a young Ukrainian conductor from Western Ukraine, who is now deputy artistic director at the Bavarian State Opera in Munich, in Germany. And finally, the Dumka National Chorus. We thought that we'd include one element of Ukraine, a big Ukrainian group, if you like, particularly because I chose as the second piece of the concert Yevhen Stankovich's Kaddish Requiem. The program opens up with Max Bruch's Kol Nidrei, which is like an evening prayer that at Yom Kippur, the New Year Jewish prayer, and then it goes into the Kaddish Requiem by Yevhen Stankovich, which is a contemporary piece which tells the story of Babyn Yar. I chose it because it's not really a requiem. It's really just a sort of statement of fact, if you like. And then that takes us to the interval, and after the interval is the Brahms Requiem, which is also not really a requiem. It's a spiritual work which doesn't really talk about any particular faith, but it talks really about spirituality. So it's sort of a journey from prayer to fact to hope. And thought that was it would be sort of quite appropriate to choose that type of program, which sort of it moves into the positive.
Yes, well, that's what this whole commemoration event is all about, isn't it? It's to acknowledge and commemorate the past, but there's so much good stuff that's going on in Ukraine right now, in particular with Ukrainian Jewish Encounter. You've had a long and successful career as an opera singer. This project is casting you in a different role, kind of behind the scenes, although you said you will be singing as well.
Yeah, well, I've done, on a smaller scale, I've done things like this over sort of some years, in the sense that I founded a choir in England some 15 years ago, and it existed for about 15 years. And basically, we organized various tours all over the world with them. But obviously, this is of a different scale, a different nature. And but it's just an extension of that, really. Mm-hmm. But it's also very interesting because you get hands on with lots of the detail, and there's a whole plethora of things that need to be dealt with, and of course you're meeting all types of different people, and we've been able to get a great group of people together. But I forgot to mention that this is rather a different concert, because when I worked in Berlin at the Berlin Philharmonic with Sir Simon Rattle last year, we did a world premiere of a new opera, and it was staged in concert form, but fully staged. by a young lady called Annegien Kerselman from Amsterdam, a Dutch stage director. And she created in minimalistic form a completely different impression of what concert making is. And it reached out to the public so much more directly. And we've invited her to stage this concert. And it really is quite amazing how when you just have a few sort of movements, a few thoughts, very minimalistic thoughts, that the it touches the public so much more directly. So, yeah, we're in the middle of that rehearsal. We've had a rehearsal on that with the chorus in Kyiv. And we're going next month for another 2 days. So it should be a really incredible, unforgettable concert.
Indeed, it sounds it. It will be taking place where?
It's taking place at the National Opera House of Ukraine in Kyiv.
Mm-hmm. What will you be singing?
Well, I'm involved in it as well. Apart from producing it, I'm singing in both the Stankovich, where there's a bass part, and there's also a narrator's part. And that's performed in Ukrainian. And then in the Brahms Requiem, there's also a part for me there with the soprano, with Gal James.
You sing, you're a bass baritone yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Just for those listening who don't maybe follow opera, give us a brief overview of your incredible career. You didn't start out to be an opera singer, you started out to be a lawyer. And then... Right. And then you decided to become an opera. How did that all come about?
Yeah, well, it's not so unusual. There are not lawyers specifically, but there are people who sort of change track in their lives. But yeah, I practiced as a lawyer for 4 years and realized that temperamentally I was not suited to that job for the rest of my life. And I was always involved in the art world and I always wanted to sing. And I just had the opportunity one day to open the door and people sort of helped me make the transfer from law into the opera world. And that was now 29 years ago. I'm in my 27th season and very fortunate to have been able to work with some of the great conductors and directors of the world. And I'm now... I've already mentioned Simon Rattle. I'm singing with him next year twice, and I've just been singing with Daniel Barenboim. And yeah, I'm going to be singing Wagner's Ring Cycle in 2 months' time in Denmark, and then I go on to Brussels to sing The Golden Cockerel by Rimsky-Korsakov in Russian. So, and then that takes me into the new year when I'm doing all types of different things as well.
Two questions for you. But first of all, how many languages do you speak?
Well, fluently, I speak all the language that I sing in. So I suppose it's seven, but they're all sort of at different levels. Because sometimes, for example, I sing in Russian and I speak Russian and I can sing in Russian and I understand Russian, but I don't have the opportunity to practice it as much as I do Ukrainian, for example. But then I sing in German, in French, in Italian, sometimes in English even, not that often, but in Czech as well.
Did you learn the languages as you were studying music then?
Well, I was fortunate that before I was a lawyer, the only specific talent I had at school was an interest for languages. So I ended up studying modern languages at university in Manchester in England. And then I studied at Barcelona University for a year and then at Metz University near Strasbourg in France for a year because I studied French and Spanish literature and language. And that opened the door to other languages. And when I started singing, I needed German and Italian, of course, and I just set about learning that as soon as possible. And then Ukrainian opened the door to Russian, so there you are. And Czech, I don't really speak Czech, but it's so close to Ukrainian.
Right.
That you can, I mean, just reading it through, you can understand 70% of it. And then the words you can't understand are usually archaic Ukrainian words, so it's really quite straightforward.
That's funny. So that kind of leads me to my other question I was going to ask you. And that was, why did you choose opera instead of, say, theater or popular music?
Well, classical music is a world where, let's put it this way. When I was a lawyer, I actually foresaw that I possibly could get to the point where I will have done most of the things I was aiming to do as a lawyer. But in classical music, that's just quite impossible. Because every time you come, for example, you come to a classical song or a classical opera, it's always different because it has so many millions of different ways of interpreting music that you never arrive, basically. And that's the beauty of it. You're constantly searching, and every performance is a different performance. Classical music talks about many, many shades of feelings beyond, for example, pop music or even musicals. Let's just say, you know, maybe folk songs, for example, they talk about love and they talk about death. But then there's a whole gamut of emotions between those two words. And classical music, it delves into that because it basically takes on words which have a myriad of ways of interpreting, and the music as well. Every time you meet a conductor, he'll look at it differently, and singers look at it differently. So you never really arrive, and that's why classical music is so fascinating.
So you like a challenge, obviously.
Absolutely, and that's why I never, you know, I'm constantly learning, and I like to do new operas, for example. I don't like to just repeat the same old things all the time, although I do repeat operas sometimes. Mm-hmm. But for example, the Golden Cockerel is new to me, which I'm doing at the La Monnaie Royal Opera House in Brussels, in Belgium, at Christmas. And the whole Ring cycle by Wagner, I've never done this particular role. I'm playing the sort of the devil's devil, if you like. and next year, I've been invited to go to sing in Budapest to sing Wagner's Parsifal. And that's particularly interesting because I'm doing two roles there, all on one night. And it was Wagner's intention that the same singer sang both roles. But it happens very rarely because both roles are very different roles. And sometimes, in a way, they are especially demanding for one singer. But it's a great challenge.
So you like challenges, and one project that you've been involved with on the Canadian side, since we're talking to you from Canada, I'd like to just kind of throw this into the mix, and that is the Ukraine Art Song Project. And This is not folk music or popular music. What this is classical, right?
Well, this is an example of classical music. It's definitely not folk music. I'm giving you an idea just now about, you know, what folk music is. It's beautiful music, of course, and it's, you know, Ukrainians have lots and lots of folk songs, but they also have a massive repertoire of Ukrainian classical songs called art songs in English. And that's basically a very eminent poet and an eminent composer get together and create something which becomes sort of a higher form of art, if you like, because it deals with issues and themes which are not usually dealt with in folk songs. And the music is by fantastic composers, and sort of it enhances the art form, if you like, through that. It's music which is another stepping stone to showing that Ukraine is a really cultured nation, without which, you know, Ukraine will still be looked on as a warlike nation and a nation of problems. But we also have an incredible classical culture, and it's our hope through the art song, and in fact through the Babyn Yar concert, to show Ukrainian the best light possible. Because the reason why I accepted this invitation to produce this concert was because I saw it as a way for Ukrainians to recognize that they're entering adulthood as a nation. Hmm. Every adult nation in the world, pretty well, has got a history which is not so positive, I suppose, in the eyes of the world. For example, England, people very frequently forget that this is the epicenter of the slave trade, and the French with their revolution, tons of atrocities there. The Germans, you know, you can go around the whole world, and when you meet a civilized nation, always something untoward has happened. And in Ukraine, this atrocity took place in 1941, and it was instigated by the Nazis, as everybody knows. But obviously, people were involved. And this is a way of saying, well, we remember, we accept that this happened, and we hope it will never happen again on our territory. And that's, for me, was a big reason to accept this invitation, because Ukraine needs this type of step to adulthood. It needs the Ukrainian art song. It needs to show that we have over 1,500 Ukrainian art songs, that we are second in the world when it comes to quantity, and the quality of the songs are just incredible. So, you know, this is all part of building a nation, you know, and giving them an identity which the world will be proud of. You know, people will stand up and listen to this concert on the 29th of September. People already are standing up and listening to the Ukrainian Art Song Project and understanding, this is non-Ukrainians as well, and understanding that, you know, there are tons of people in this world who actually do create things which are unique, and that's the Ukrainians as well. Our task is to record them, to make sure that there's a world library, and to get it out there to all the people of the world, particularly the young. And we're doing that by getting into the universities, conservatories in Canada and beyond. And for example, I've just done a concert tour of Ukraine, of Ukrainian art songs. I sang in Kyiv and in Lviv, and gave 3 masterclasses in Kyiv, Lviv, and in Ivano-Frankivsk. And it was just an unmitigated success. It was fantastic. It was obvious that the people were just waiting for me to come to sort of help them open their souls and for them and to be have them introduced to Ukrainian classical song. And I'm sure that they will react the same way to this Babyn Yar concert.
Indeed, and that is one thing that that I've noticed, and I think anybody that becomes acquainted with Ukrainians notices their great love and knowledge of the classical arts. So thank you again for telling
us. You're welcome, Pavlina, and all the best to your radio station.
All right, thank you so much. I was speaking with Pavlo Hunka from London, England. Mr. Hunka will be performing at the concert he is directing in commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Babyn Yar, on September 29th, 2016, in Kyiv. Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, ukrainianjewishencounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. And a klezmer rendition of Ukraine's national anthem. Coming up next, Dunai from Toronto, Ontario, and a song from their most recent CD, a song that's sort of been appropriated from Polish culture and tradition, much beloved by Ukrainians. It is called Hey Sokole.
Чорні води сів на коня, козак молодий, плаче молода дівчина. Їде козак з України.
Гей, 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 соколи, обминайте гори і сідоли. Дзін, 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 дзіночку, все повіжай, вороночку. Гей, 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 соколи, обминайте гори і сідоли.
Жай, жай, за милою, за рідною стороною, жай, жай, серце плаче, більше її не побачу.
Гей, 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 соколи, обминайте гори і сідоли, дзін, 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 дзіночку, все повіжай, вороночку. Гей, 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 соколи, обминайте гори і сідоли, дзін, 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 дзіночку, після полови, дзін, дзін, дзін.
Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Hello and welcome to Ukraine Today. I'm Oliver Solohu. Another busy week here in Ukraine. The fighting in the east doesn't seem to stop. Just last weekend, 6 Ukrainian soldiers were killed and 13 wounded, all in the course of 24 hours. Militants continue using the prohibited weapons in violation of the ceasefire agreement. And according to the Ukrainian military intelligence, Russia is regrouping its two armies near the border with Ukraine. All this is happening while the members of Trilateral Contact Group on Ukraine meet again in Minsk. This time they hope to negotiate the withdrawal of troops. We spoke to Mr. Yevhen Marchuk, head of Ukraine delegation in Security Working Group of Minsk Trilateral Contact Group on Ukraine, about these talks.
Nowadays, we are trying to withdraw military units from contact line, but I personally call it front line, because in reality, it's not contact line. In reality, it's front line. To withdraw from contact line military units for 1 kilometer.
In the other part of Ukraine, the joint Ukrainian-U.S. multinational maritime exercises Seabreeze 2016 kicked off on the waters of the Black Sea. Apart from the Ukrainian and American Navy, representatives of 14 other countries are taking part in the maneuvers. Turkey, which lived through an attempted coup a while ago staged by the military, still dispatched its Navy units to participate in the drills. The 2016 Marine component includes 26 vessels, 20 planes and helicopters, as well as 50 military equipment units and 4,000 soldiers. One of the most watched video from the military drills was parachute-free airdrop of naval border guards from a 7-meter height from a helicopter flying with a speed of about 30 kilometers per hour. For all of the Ukrainian naval border guards, this was a first ever experience. Indeed, you don't get to jump out of the flying chopper every day. Also, not every day you see people with crosses marching some 500 kilometers towards a European capital. To celebrate the 1028th anniversary of baptism of Ukraine on July 28th, Orthodox groups from Eastern and Western Ukraine walked for around 3 weeks to reach Kyiv. But their differences were not only geographic, but also political. The Kremlin-backed procession of the Orthodox priests, flock and private security guards were feared to have ulterior motives behind their crusade on Kyiv. The government suspected that Moscow-oriented Orthodox group would clash with Kyiv-backed Orthodox, or that the procession will be used for provocations and possibly violence. Hence, under the tight security measures, both groups safely reached Kyiv, marched across the city center, prayed in the famed Lavra Monastery, and without any incident, left home. Ukraine continues fighting the external aggression in the east and also reacting to internal threats. Overall, this has been a good week for the government trying to keep the country safe. Let's see what the next week will bring us. I'm Volodymyr Solohub, Ukraine Today.
The situation at Donbas worsens again. Russian-backed troops shell Ukrainian positions using heavy weaponry, forbidden by Minsk agreements. During the weekend, 10 Ukrainian soldiers were wounded and one killed. On July the 30th, Ukrainian military officials reported that Russia deployed another convoy of ammunition and military equipment to militants in eastern Ukraine. Still, the towns and villages in the region tried to live somewhat normal life. In spite of powerful roar of guns and constant machine gun firing, locals behave as if nothing special goes on. They walk in the parks, children run at playgrounds. Seems like only animals look for a shelter. At night, the town can hear separate, very loud explosions. First, wounded soldiers are taken from the front line to the hospital. All of them are easy, just missile fragments in their arms and legs. Just several kilometers from the front line, and life seems to be quite peaceful. Soldiers rest and take care of pets. They even help their cats to get rid of fleas. After the epic cat washing, they will have just a couple of hours of sleep and will return back to the positions. Ukrainian army is ready for even more attacks. On August the 2nd, Russia celebrates the Day of Airborne Troops. The militants usually mark this day with shelling and shootings.
The Russian-backed separatist forces are reinforcing their positions in Khorlivka, 45 kilometers north of Donetsk. The militants are turning the city into a fortress. Ukrainian soldiers say New squads have arrived in the separatist-controlled areas, most likely from Chechnya. Ramzan Kadyrov's soldiers are stationed here, right across the field. There are a lot of them too. They are moving every day. Their guns are silent, for now. Instead, the militants are relocating their vehicles, changing positions, and displaying long-forgotten in Ukraine flags. Two flags of the Soviet communist regime and the separatist flags too. The locals in the occupied territories are still exposed to Russian propaganda. The combatants have changed their stories, though. Instead of the nationalists, they are now trying to scare people with mercenaries. That is what they call Ukrainian soldiers who signed a contract with the army. We must restore Ukrainian television here. We must, so people could see both sides of the conflict. A local village, named after communist leader Lenin, separates the two armies in the area. It is called a gray zone, which means neither Ukraine nor the militants control the village. The few locals that live here often suffer from random shelling and shooting. The soldiers tell the separatists mostly move at nights. Their relocation is hard to monitor, even with the help of night vision goggles. Russia has provided them not only with weapons, but also with advanced equipment and outfit. So far, the situation is under control, the soldiers say. The newly arrived separatist forces act rather disoriented, as if the territory is new to them. They mostly try to provoke us with occasional shooting. They show up, make a few shots, then hide. Aside from fighting off the militants, Ukrainian soldiers also reinforce their positions. The servicemen believe the war will inevitably end and the national flag will appear over Donetsk.
Ukrainian soldiers confront Russian-backed forces almost face-to-face. At some places, just several hundred meters divide their positions. The most tense situation is at the sector near Avdiivka and on the stretch between Zaitseva and Mayorsk. These soldiers live and hold the line in a so-called lair. Their forward position is just several hundred meters from separatist militants. The basement, covered with mildew inside, is hidden in bushes.
We are a bit concealed here, but there are drones. They can see everything.
It is relatively calm here for the last few days. The soldiers say the militants are busy shooting at each other. This is a usual tactics for them. The shellings are aimed for local residents to believe they are being attacked by Ukrainian army.
Social media in Gorlivka immediately write that Ukrainians are completely out of their mind. We're all in basements here.
In Zaitseve, near occupied Gorlivka, Russia-backed militants hide in basements too. Ukrainian military say separatists only control two streets by now.
This is our forward position, 150 meters more, and there are separatist pits.
Close combat is rather often here, but Ukrainian servicemen say the enemy has completely lost the hope to get Zaitseva back. The situation on the Ukrainian eastern front line may worsen harshly. According to Ukraine's intelligence service, the leaders of Russian-backed separatist forces ordered each and every militant, including those paying off, to return to the battlefield. Along with the armed forces, they drag heavy weapon closer to the position of Ukrainian soldiers. National Guard fighters say they are being shelled every night, as well as the houses of the local residents. The village of Krasnohorivka, lying to the west of Donetsk, is considered one of the hottest points. The distance between the positions of Ukrainian army and the terrorists is less than 1 kilometer. Both sides do not spend a single hour without being shelled and rescuing from heavy mortars. Ukrainian officers claim Russian-backed separatists might have undergone the regular rotation, for since recent they have started shooting with big-caliber bullets. Ukrainians do not remember the enemy had such kind of weapon before the recent so-called updates. After one more night spent under heavy shelling, Ukrainian soldiers say the enemy has already forgotten about Minsk agreements. Ukraine may soon encounter a real war.
Ukrainian court has arrested Alexander Yefremov for 2 months as a pre-trial restriction. His arrest was requested by the country's prosecution. If released, Yefremov could flee Ukraine and avoid responsibility for his crimes, the prosecutors said. The close ally of ousted President Yanukovych, Alexander Yefremov, is accused of creating and supporting the militant republic in Luhansk region. His former colleague from the Party of Regions, Volodymyr Langy, has testified against him. Yefremov was detained at the Kyiv airport on July 30. He was trying to leave for Austria when the law enforcers took him into custody.
A big corruption scandal to be unveiled in Ukraine's State Aviation Administration. The department workers are said to have embezzled 4,300,000 hryvnias. According to Ukraine's security service, in December 2015, the aforementioned costs were remitted to one of the Russian-backed companies, supposedly for purchasing the metal detectors for the Boryspil International Airport in Kyiv. The investigators say the vendor appeared to be a fake Czech enterprise. Additionally, the procurement price was four times higher. According to the reports of Kyiv Office of Public Prosecutor, the police officers do dispose of numerous proof of the criminal schemes used for money laundering. The investigation is underway. No officials' names are currently mentioned.
Our ministry officially claims it will combat corruption with no compromise possible. A good deal of discrediting evidence is still being considered and revised by Ukraine's Prosecutor General's office.
An unexpected historical discovery done in the city of Kamianets-Podilsky in Khmelnytsky region in western Ukraine. An old military tower dated back to the 16th century was known only by ancient historical maps. The newly discovered founding may become an additional step to UNESCO World Heritage. This year, Kamianets-Podilsky is set to appeal to the organization for the third and the last time.
This tower was hiding one of the most beautiful city view, the so-called Catholic front of the monasteries. According to the historical manuscripts, once nearly 60 local residents defended the city from Turkish invasion.
In 16th century, the city of Kamianets-Podilsky was already quite populated. Apart from the tower reminiscence, the archaeologists found an old stove. It might have been designed for pottery or blacksmith manufacturing. Geologists in turn study the area around the digging site, hoping to find some other valuable artifacts. The new radar is constructed specially for such purposes, for it doesn't destroy the soil. Using such method, the scholars may explore the earth 12 meters in depth. The excavation works are currently set to continue. Money necessary for the Eurovision Song Contest 2017 are found. This is according to Ukraine's Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman. On his Facebook page he wrote, Ukrainian government ensured European Broadcasting Union it would provide 15 million euro for Ukraine's State Committee for Television and Radio Broadcasting. The location, though, is still unknown. Three cities, Kyiv, Dnipro and Odessa, strive for the right to hold the competition. The organizing committee promises to name the hosting city as soon as the technical and organizing issues are solved, as well as the advice of European colleagues are fulfilled.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv. performed a folk dance called the Tarantali Tanok, and that was performed by American Ukrainian folk group Korinya. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo's Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world, here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, shortwave, and satellite radio. And in between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can find the podcast links to all three editions of the show. And make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter and please like our Facebook page. Нежами вже скінчила наша програма, вже час домові сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Ніхто не знає, де його щастя чекає. And our proverb of the week translates as no one knows where his fate awaits him. And that brings us to the end of another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, we have the Canadian Rhythm Masters from Winnipeg and the Great Plains Kolomeika. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.